Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the IMC's conference call to discuss the results for the third quarter 2025. This conference call is being recorded and the presentation is available at the company website. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. We will then go on to the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. As a reminder, forward-looking statements are subject to known and unknown risks that could cause the actual results to differ from those expressed in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them. At this conference, we have Alexandre Santoro, the CEO of IMC, and Natalia Lacava, the CFO. I would now like to turn the floor over to Mr. Santoro, who will begin the presentation. You may proceed, Mr. Santoro. Thank you, Samantha. Good day to all of you. Thank you for joining the IMC's earnings call for the third quarter of 2025. I would like to begin by thanking our 7,000 employees, franchisees, and partners. To begin the presentation, let's move on to slide 2, which summarizes IMC's business cycles. We went through an initial cycle between 2000 and 20, a building cycle marked by acquisitions, mergers, scale expansion, but also with increased complexity, with little synergy between the businesses. The pandemic created a major disruption after the incorporation of Pizza Hut and KFC at the end of 2019 to 20. In 2021, we began the transformation cycle focused on operational efficiency, reducing complexity, financial discipline, and expansion, mainly concentrated in KFC. During this period, we completed divestments in Panama and Colombia, strengthened our team, improved our margins, reduced leverage, and advanced in technology. Now, this cycle now comes to an end with the materialization of the KFC Brazil joint venture, which strengthened our cash position, reduced leverage, and lowered our future caper needs, brought us a strong operating partner with whom we share the brand's future upside. The KFC valuation clearly validated the thesis that the sum of the parts nowadays is more than the whole. We are entering a new cycle, maintaining the same pillars that we created way back in 2021, but with greater creativity to deliver consistent results. And to do that, we're going to fully explore the potential of Frango Asado, expand franchises, build partnerships, and continue with discipline and a strong focus on return on capital. Let's speak about the debt of the KFC, a slight update on slide number 3. Now, the KFC JV is now a reality with its own headquarters and dedicated teams. Here we see the initiatives launched earlier this year, especially the value-focused promotion. We continue to deliver strong results, even in a more competitive and harsh scenario. We are very pleased with the KFC performance, with the team, and with our new partner. On slide number 4, I'll speak about IMC and specifically about the quarter highlights. Despite the tough comparison base and a weaker calendar vis-a-vis last year, Revenue in Brazil grew 1% in the quarter, already excluding KFC, and 9% year to date. On a consolidated basis, revenue fell 4% in the quarter and remained flat year to date, pressured by the U.S. operations. Even with the revenue below expectations, we were disciplined on cost. G&A decreased significantly, reflecting the reorganization and the service provided to the JV. Recurring adjusted EBITDA grew 2.4%, reaching 66 million, and increased more than 10% year to date. Operating cash flow was possible, and we had a reduction of net debt to 207 million, a decline of 144 million versus the third quarter 2024, following the extraordinary amortizations after the JV. In summary, this was a challenging quarter, but with important structural progress. As we always do, I will go through our business units with a brief summary of the performance of each of these. Regarding Frango Assado, the best roadside stop in Brazil, we had a mixed quarter. It wasn't a strong revenue quarter, but it was a quarter with important operational advances. Same-store sales grew 2.5%. We faced a tough comparison base, a weaker July, largely due to weather and increased competitive activity and an unfavorable calendar, especially September, where we had no holidays vis-à-vis the holidays in 2024. As this is a business with high operating leverage, when revenue doesn't materialize, margin is naturally pressured. Even so, year-to-date performance remains stable and resilient, supported by strong previous quarters and the strength of the brand. Structurally, we made solid progress. Digital sales grew 10% and now represent 75% of road revenue. We advanced in CRM, kiosks, and the new Guararema unit continues its ramp-up phase, marking the beginning of a new expansion cycle. The brand also gained traction with consumers and became a finalist in the Reclame Aqui Awards, reflecting the continuous improvement in customer experience. Our priorities remain clear: the customer at the center, market expansion through efficiency, and the central kitchen playing a key strategic role for cost control and with a focus on the quality of the products we sell at our stores. I would like to underscore an important point going forward. In addition to the opportunities for expansion, we will place strong emphasis on improving our existing stores and, as a result, enhancing our customers' experience. With a discipline that has always defined us, we will be ever more creative to attract third-party capital to finance the investments we deem essential for the brand's evolution. Frango Assado continues to accelerate in the right direction. We are building an operation that is increasingly stronger, more profitable, and better prepared to grow. On slide number six, we speak about USA with negative results this quarter. We saw same-store sales down 8.8%, impacted by reduced demand in some markets and in places like Nashville specifically. We are facing intensified competitive activity. We also had some important improvements in profitability and gross margin and increased operational efficiency in some of our stores. Now, a positive point is traffic that grew in our stores, and the NPS reached record levels, 87 points in September, the highest in our historical series. This reflects the impact of the actions taken in the menus, communication, and customer journey in our stores. Now, revenue in local currency declined 16.6% due to the closures implemented over the past year. Excluding this effect, we would have had a more online or more stable revenue. The focus now is to recover sales and margin with store-by-store execution, distinct consumer profiles, and different competitive dynamics are our focus now. Now, the operations with the highest short-term turnaround potential remain New York, Boston, and Nashville. In New York, we are seeing concrete progress with same-store sales growing 4.1% in the period, reversing the negative trend of previous quarters. We will also focus to elevate the experience and some iconic results, such as Panama City Beach in Florida and Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. To accelerate this agenda, we have announced the arrival of Emilio Busoli as the new President of U.S. Operations. Emilio has sound experience in our sector and will lead the next phase of the business there. We now go on to slide number 7 to speak about other domestic brands. We had a challenging quarter, especially in airports. In the specific case of catering, we have a difficult base of comparison. Last year, we had one-off higher margin contracts, but once again, they were short-term contracts for only the second half of the year. In our shopping mall and hospital brands, we saw improvements in service and efficiency, and in our Vienna business, we have a high-quality product with a high potential for recurrence in a segment that has been growing most in terms of sales. Now, these brands continue to contribute to the consolidated results, and in the future, we will reposition what we are doing, but our focus for the coming year will be to focus again on efficiency, customer experience, and profitability. We now move on to Pizza Hut on slide number 8. The quarter was quite positive for Pizza Hut, showing us the strength of the same-store sales grew 2.5%, driven by higher traffic and very effective delivery campaigns, with delivery sales up 14% in the period. Company-owned stores also contributed with 4% in same-store growth. Even after the portfolio adjustment and the reduction in total number of units, brand revenue grew 1.3%. In digital, we continue to advance consistently with better platform integration, targeted promotions, and greater efficiency in online channels. In profitability, we had another quarter of margin expansion, reflecting the process in COGS, cost of personnel, and a healthier store system. Strategic partners remain a highlight in delivery in the collaboration with AmPm that is gaining traction. We have now reached 82 stores in the AmPm network. Now, the combination of same-store growth, digital momentum, margin improvement, and expansion via partners reinforces that Pizza Hut remains on a consistent trajectory of recovery, productivity gains, and margin expansion. To conclude this part of the presentation on business units on slide number 9, here you see the number of stores. Simply for comparison, we highlight KFC. Presently, we have 588 stores, 17 more than the same period last year, but we exclude this increase of stores of KFC. We take it away from our base, and we have fewer stores in the rest of our portfolio. On slide number 10, as a consequence of the performance trends described, our ROL, net revenue, fell 4% in the quarter and remained stable during the year. We have the impact of store closures. If we exclude that, we have grown approximately 5% in terms of revenues, Brazil growing above 8%, and the U.S. with a negative performance. Now, all of this takes us to slide number 11, our final result, EBITDA. We close the quarter with 69 million reais below last year. We remind you once again that last year we had the impact of non-recurring results. If we withdraw this result last year, basically the EBITDA has grown 2.4% in the quarter and 10% in the 9 months of the year. Although the revenues were below plan, we continue on with our discipline in terms of cost management, leading to a 30-year reduction of SG&A year-on-year. Of course, this clarifies the strong discipline we have in cost management. On the operational side, the positive highlight was Pizza Hut, and the negative highlight was the performance of the U.S. operations. In summary, total results reflect a more challenging quarter, but recurring EBITDA has improved, and the sharp reduction in G&A shows that we are executing with discipline and strengthening the foundation for coming cycles. I will now turn the call over to Natalia, my partner and CFO, to speak about the company's financial results. Well, thank you, Santoro. A good day to all of you. I would like to thank you for your attendance in our earnings call for the third quarter 2025. I'm going to speak about cash flow and CapEx investments. As Mr. Santoro mentioned, the quarter was more challenging. We had good management of our cash, and we ended up with a good amount. This reflects structural changes we made, as mentioned by Santoro, and a reduction of SG&A that is considerable. We end the quarter with an operational cash flow of 68 million for the 9 months of 2025, almost double of last year. We have a stronger cash operation. It's one of our focuses, and of course, supported by austerity and expense control. Now, this, along with working capital, when we look at the line item of investments, we do have a very selective approach. As Mr. Santoro mentioned, we have creative ideas to use third-party financing for expansion. So we had a drop of 46% of CapEx in the semester, also influenced by reforms in the USA. For the 9 months of the year, the drop is 27%. If we think of the carryover of 2024 that we have commented on in previous calls, the drop was even more expressive of 76 million, would in truth be 36 million. And this is what we're doing to protect our cash generation and continue on with our maintenance investments. As a summary, therefore, you can see that the company has focused on cash generation, and with a higher interest rates, this has improved our liquidity. If we look at our capital structure on this next slide, with a JV with KFC, we have had structural changes in the company. The net debt has dropped to 468 million. This reflects 100 million of amortizations carried out in an extraordinary fashion. We end up with 200 million. The operational cash, of course, and the payment for KFC. Now, we have worked to lengthen our structure in debt, and we continue to work so that we can better structure changes for the coming years. The leverage, as you can see on this slide, is 1.1 below the rate that we have stipulated in our covenants of 3x. I would like to remind you, and I had mentioned this in the previous quarter once again, the company does have a structure of options for sale, what remains for KFC, and this has a positive impact on our debt structure. Those rights we are entitled to are reflected in our balance. This is simply to remind you what we explained in the last quarter. To conclude, I would like to underscore that despite the challenges we faced this quarter and mentioned by Mr. Santoro, we were able to balance the company cash. We had a focus of changing EBITDA into cash, and we continue to be selective in our cash allocation, making the most of the resources that we use and working with more creative ideas and third parties to expand our capital. This shows you the pillars that were remarked upon by Mr. Santoro for the company. With this, I would like to end this slide. I thank all of you for your attention, and I am at your disposal should you have any doubts. I return the floor to Santoro. Thank you, Natalia. Now, we're moving to the conclusion of our presentation on slide number 14. Here you see some of our priorities. We begin with customer experience, which is what will guarantee the results in the future. We have to continue to evolve when it comes to customer experience at our stores with a daily focus on store by store. We can never lose sight of that, and that is why we are here. Additionally to that, we highlight three points. We're going to continue to unharness the value of Frango Assado with creativity. We're making strides in that evolution, that recovery of the operations in the USA by reversing the results in New York and Boston, more specifically, and strengthening commercial and operational management on all fronts. Now, given the macro scenario, 2026 will be a year of absolute discipline on our part. We've always done this, and things will not be different in 2026. You have seen a substantial decrease in CapEx and increase in our operational cash. No store will be inaugurated with our own capital in 2026. If I look at the company, the consistency of our strategy, the strength of our brands, and the quality of our team and our franchisees gives me greater strength and certainty that we are in the right pathway. With this, I would like to end the presentation and return the floor to Samantha so that we can go on to our question and answer session. Thank you very much. We will now go on to the question and answer session for investors and analysts. Should you wish to pose a question, please write your name and company in the Q&A icon. Please hold while we poll for questions. We received a first question from Marco Bandeira regarding catering because of the, well, is this margin due to a cost increase or competition? Well, we have two effects here, Marcos, as I mentioned in the presentation. There's the impact of the comparison base. In the second half of last year, We had extraordinary services. It's only extended through the second semester with a very good margin. So this had a positive impact last year, but as this was not recurrent, it was specific to the second half of the year. In the comparison, there is a reduction. For the second part of your question, yes, there is the problem of competition and cost pressure as well. We have a plan that is underway along with our partners and clients. We have a plan underway to recover those margins to the levels that we had in the last year. Thank you for the question. We have a question from Roberto Santoro and team. Congratulations for your results. How are you going to comply with the contractual targets of IMC without using your own capital? Here we have two things: the expansion through franchises, yes. Secondly, we're under discussion with Pizza Hut to adjust our commitments in coming years to reflect that potential in when it comes to the franchises. Thank you for the question. Our next question comes from Edson Roberto from E2M Investment. You may proceed with your question.
Good morning, and thank you, Natalia and Santoro, for taking my questions. Well, my question basically refers to the activities in the USA. Perhaps this was a mistake of meals. And I would like to know if you have a term, a certain period, so that you can define a turnaround in your activities in the USA, as the market there has enormous competition, and we see the closure of several companies there.
Hello, Edson. Thank you for your question. Now, I'm under the obligation of clarifying a point. This operation historically was always very positive for us. I don't consider it a mistake, an error. It's positive, the currency is strong, and historically, this has always been the case. Even this year, when the performance is not very good, the cash is positive. Simply to clarify that, it's something that has aided and abetted us and continues to help us in cash generation. But to your point, we do have a plan. We have made significant changes in the structure in the USA, bringing in a new president, one with a good profile in terms of operations. We have a strong brand, and the locations are very good. We're in excellent locations, and the challenge there is pricing, perhaps supply of products. And it is our understanding that our plan will change this and allow the results to once again grow in the USA the coming year. We face two challenging quarters in terms of seasonality, the American government, and the coming summer, we're going to bring ever more positive results from the United States. Once again, thank you for your question. Thank you, and congratulations for the work that you have carried out at Meals for the last few months. Thank you, Edson.
We have a question from Roberto, a follow-up. He asks us to comment on the short-term debt strategy to roll the debt. And Roberto, we have already changed the debt that is
about to mature in October, as you can see in our statement, and we are going to restructure the short-term debts. The intention is to lengthen the maturities. Regarding the receivables, we use them in a very timely fashion, 10 to 15 million approximately. We use this in a timely fashion to balance out entries and exits. In Frango Asado, for example, our payment is different from the receivables, and this is where we tend to use this more at the gas stations. Thank you for the question.
We would like to remind you that should you wish to pose a question, please type in your name and company in the Q&A icon. Please hold while we pull for questions.
The question and answer session ends here. We would like to return the call to the company CEO, Alexandre Santoro, for the closing remarks.
I wanted to close by thanking all of you for your attendance, thanking you for the questions. Of course, it's always a provocation to make the most of this space. Next week, we have a holiday, so everybody will be on the highways. Do download our app. Of course, you can perhaps receive a cheese bread or a chicken fritter. Once again, thank you for your attention and have an excellent day.
The IMC conference call ends here. We would like to thank all of you for your attendance. Have a very good day.